I love the book of Colossians, and one of the main reasons I love the book of Colossians is because of chapter 3. In fact, one of the things I love most about Colossians chapter 3 are the verses we're going to look at today. It's just four verses. It's just four verses, but it introduces what I think might be one of the most effective tools, if you can only take hold of it, an effective tool to live the Christian life that God has called you to live. But I want to start with these questions. I want to start by just giving you a place to kind of hang out in your mind as we unfold the word together. So here are the questions. One, where have you set your heart? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, there's this line that says, set your heart on things above. And there's something to be said for you sort of taking the reins of your own heart. Where have you set your heart? Where have you set your heart? Because here's the truth. We'll keep coming back to it. We'll keep hammering on this over and over. If you don't set your heart's going to fall somewhere. Where have you set your heart? Where have you allowed your heart? Where have you allowed your heart? And you may need, even in this next 30 minutes, you may need to kind of go searching for your heart. Honestly, you may not know. You may not know where your heart has sort of fallen to. Where have you set your heart? Question number two, where have you set your mind? Where have you set your mind? You may say, Rusty, that sounds so similar. And I love it because it does sound similar. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You may say, why does it need to be repeated like that? Heart, minds, you know, same deal. No, it's not. It's actually not. If you don't set your mind, if you don't intentionally sort of take the reins of your mind, if you don't set your mind according to what you know to be true from Scripture, your mind is going to wander off. Where's your mind wandered off to? Because here's the thing, over the course of a dang TV show, your mind could wander off with every commercial. Your mind could wander off with every scene change of the next shiny thing. Where have you set your mind? Where has your mind wandered off to? And here's the real question for the hour. Here's the real question. And Bryce is going to lead us later in an invitation for you to just, can I take it back? Can I take my heart back from where it has fallen to? Can I take my mind back from where it's wandered off to? And the answer is yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can set your heart. You can set your mind. I ask Jesus all the time, Lord, would you fix my heart on you? And he keeps saying, no, it's your job to fix your heart on me. Lord, would you fix my mind? And the Lord keeps saying, no, Rusty, that's your job. You fix your mind on me. You set your mind on me. So how do we go about that? How do we go about that? Let's read this together, beginning at verse 1, Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, right? For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Four short verses. It's really not that big of a text, but it's rich. It's rich with meaning. So I want us to kind of dive into it. Let's start with the presupposition. Paul makes a presupposition. Since you've been raised with Christ. What does that even mean? Since you've been raised with Christ. When we take people through the water of baptism, right? Buried to the old life, raised to walk in newness with Christ. What does it mean to be raised with Christ? We talk about it all the time. New life in Christ Jesus. New life that comes only in him. You've got an old life. You've got an old story. You've got an old story that's marked with twists and turns and failures and all kinds of things that you're not very proud of. Some things you're just hoping that nobody here finds out about, so that you could start over and start fresh. I've known people that moved across the country to get away from an old life and have a fresh start. Here's the trouble. A geographic solution is really no solution at all. The solution is to have a new life in Christ. A new life in Christ. Jesus talked about it. He said, unless you're born again, right? Unless you're born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. It takes something dramatic. It takes something spiritual. It's not just an act of the mind. It is a spiritual endeavor to be born from above, to be born anew If anyone is in Christ, new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. By the way, over the next, just few minutes, if God moves on your heart, the water's still warm. And we've got t-shirts back there and shorts. If there's some things you need to bury under that water, bury to the old life, raised to newness with Christ, maybe one part of taking back your heart and your mind may have to do with saying, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Well, first things first. To presuppose that someone has been raised with Christ is to presuppose that that person has done business with Jesus. And I just want to nail this down, because if we're not careful, we could have a church where people could come week after week, hear incredible worship opportunities, have their hearts stirred, learn a bunch of new things, and never actually do business with Jesus. So first things first, let's just call it what it is. Have you come to the place where you would say, I do believe in Jesus? Jason brought us to this just bald-faced statement, confession. I do believe in Jesus. Is that you? Because here's what I know. There are people in this room, and people you love think you don't know Jesus. I know wives who are praying for their husbands to come to know Jesus, and when I've asked them, hey, do you know Jesus? Of course I know Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Well, tell the people around you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And by the way, there's a line from Scripture that says, even the demons believe in Jesus. They tremble. Doesn't mean they belong to Jesus. There's a difference between believing in Jesus and belonging to Jesus, right? And to belong to Jesus is when you move to that next line and you say, Jesus is my Savior, which is to say, I've come to grips with some things that are true about me. I've had this self-awareness aha moment where I've had to realize and recognize I'm a sinner. I don't want to be, but I am. I've hurt some people. I have lied to myself and to others. I have alienated people that I care about by caring only about myself, ultimately. And the difference between believing in Jesus and belonging to Jesus is coming to that place of self-awareness that says, Jesus, I need you. I'm not saying I deserve you, because I know I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I need you. And I'm asking you to come into my heart, come into my life. And if I were to go around the room, Em and I were talking about it back here earlier. Some of you asked Jesus in your heart when you were a 7-year-old kid or a 5-year-old kid. Some of you asked Jesus in your heart years ago. Now, where your heart wandered off to, who knows? Where your mind wandered off to, who knows? But you asked Jesus in your heart years and years ago. To come back to that place where you'd say, Jesus is my Savior, I asked him to come into my heart. But there's yet another step, and it comes down to this, and maybe this is a step you need to take today, a step to say, Jesus, I want to hand the control of my life over to you. Because just having you in my life from age 7, my 7-year-old's understanding of God is not big enough for my 60-year-old's life. So Lord, in Jesus' name, rather than just invite you to come along for my ride, right? I'm asking Jesus to take the wheel. I know that sounds like you're getting theology from a country song, but hey, truth is truth. What can I say? There comes a time to say, no, Jesus, you're the one that you know things I don't know. You know things about me that I haven't even come to grips with. You know things about the people around me that I don't understand, and I may not know what the next right step is, but Lord, in Jesus' name, would you guide my steps? Lord, would you guide my thinking? Would you guide my heart? Jesus, be Lord of my life. In fact, I just want to invite you into it, and this may sound cheesy to you, and you may not want to do it, but bow your heads and close your eyes so nobody will know if you did it or not. But anyway, if it's in your heart to do so, say this with me. If it's true of you, even a kernel, I do believe in Jesus. Would you say that with me? I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in Jesus. Say it again. I do believe in Jesus. If that's you, to simply proclaim that to your own heart, to remind your own heart, I do believe in Jesus. I'm living like I don't, but I do. I do believe in Jesus. Say it one more time. I do believe in Jesus. Now this one, Jesus is my Savior. Is that true of you? Did you ever ask Jesus in your heart? Was there ever a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Was there ever a time when you did business with Jesus? If so, say this with me. Jesus is my Savior. It may have been true for years now. It may have been true just in the last 5 minutes. Say it again. Jesus is my Savior. One more time. Jesus is my Savior. Because Jesus talked at one point about seeds that are planted in your life. And sometimes you got to nurture those seeds. And this is part of that. And this last one, Jesus is my Lord. And maybe this is a new one for you. Maybe this is one that you need to really come to grips with. But at least in the infancy of your understanding of it, to be able to say, Jesus, be my Lord. Would you say that with me? Jesus, be my Lord. One more time. Jesus, be my Lord. Precious ones, it's that kind of setting of heart that Paul is talking about when he says, set your hearts on things above. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Since your life has been changed by coming to grips with what's wrong with you and what's right with Jesus, since you've done business with Jesus, God has made a change in you. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Since that has happened, how do you live as if that's happened? How do you live out that truth about you? Set your heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to set your heart? Well, it's not talking about your cardiac muscle. Some of you have been praying for my mom. She's in the hospital right now, getting ready to get a new pacemaker. Praise God. Keep praying for her. We're not talking about your cardiac muscle. We're talking about the center core of who you are. When Scripture talks about your heart, it's talking about something beyond the physical, just anatomy of your life. It's talking about what drives you. What have you set your hopes on? What have you set your affections on? What have you set your desires on? The psalmist said in one place in Psalm 37, said, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What is it that you desire? And here's how fickle your heart can be. I say this because I know it from personal experience. My heart can deeply desire things and it can change that quick. My heart's desire can change while I'm window shopping. My heart desire, it's a fickle heart. And somebody needs to take it by the collar and shake it sometimes. How are you going to set your hope? How are you going to set your heart? How are you going to set your affections and say, this far, no further? Precious ones, I've seen people live at the mercy of their heart, rather than taking their heart under control. If you live by the mercy of your heart, you may have left spouses in your wake. If you live by the mercy of your heart, if you live chasing every next thing, it's easy enough to say, this hasn't turned out the way I wanted it to. I want this one. I want that one instead. Precious ones, don't live at the mercy of your heart. Set your heart, set your hope, set your affections and desires. That's what Paul's talking about. Jesus said, look, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth even speaks. You've heard the illustration before. You fill the pitcher with water, and then if the pitcher gets shaken, what sloshes out? Well, it's what was in there in the first place. You fill the pitcher with water. If the pitcher gets broken, what comes out of it? It's what was in there in the first place. It reveals things about your heart. Some of you said, you know what? My heart has been broken. What if that reveals what was in there in the first place? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here's another one. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon said this. He said, above all else, guard your heart, for from it is the wellspring of life. Everything else flows from your heart. Guard your heart. It's not a passive pursuit. It is an active pursuit. Here's why. Because there is an enemy of your heart. There is an enemy of your heart who would love to steal your heart. There's an enemy of your heart who would love to kill, destroy your heart, would love to crush your heart. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. And it's not a passive thing. It's an active pursuit. An active pursuit. Above all else, guard your heart. There's another one. He says, set your minds, right? Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. By the way, you know what Christ is doing at the right hand of God? He's making intercession for you and for me. You know who's on your side? You know who's rooting for you? You know who is, you know who is actually, who's actually there to support and answer your cry for help? It's Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. And when we say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to fix my heart on you, Jesus is saying, that's right, son, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you with that. Set your heart on things above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Again, set your mind. What does that mean? Set your heart, okay, the core of who you are, set your mind. It's your focus. It's your priorities. It's your attention. Where do you pay attention? That's sort of a telling cliche. You actually invest your attention in certain things, and you can choose to reroute your investment of attention. Did you know that? Did you know that just because there's a shiny object over here doesn't mean you have to look? Your focus, your priority, your attention, your concentration. There's a place where it says, as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delighting yourself in the Lord, that's setting your mind. That's setting your mind. Lord, I choose not to look at the porn. I choose instead to fix my mind on things above. I choose not to be distracted by every shiny new object of technology or affluence and success. I choose not to invest my mind and my heart and my attention and my focus there. I choose instead to focus on what you have done in my life, on the people that you've placed in my life, on the things that you've called me to and you've gifted me to, and the experiences, some of which I would not have chosen, but they've made me the man that I am today, and they've given me a platform by which I can make a difference for the kingdom of God. And I choose to set my mind there instead of everywhere else. Because if you don't set your mind will wander off. If you don't set your heart will fall somewhere, and you may have a hard time finding it. Jesus said it this way. He said, look, when they asked him, what's the first and greatest commandment? What is the thing that we're gonna just drive a stake down into and anchor our souls? He said, here's the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your soul. Do you see the connection between heart and mind? They go together. Where your heart goes, your mind will follow. Where your mind goes, your heart will run to keep up. Do you see how they're connected? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Solomon, again, he says this. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what if you could train yourself? What if you could train yourself to set your attention, set your heart, set your focus on him? And then it says this. It goes on. It says, look, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then it says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There's something about that that says, look, well, let me just read it to you. I've got it marked in my Bible. In 1 John, it says this. In 1 John, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. I mean, when you stop, when you say, oh, wait, Lord, I have done business. I do believe in you, and I've asked you to come into my heart, and I wanna be a man who follows in your ways. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are, it says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. That is what we are. And the reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How do you know? How do you know if you've set your heart on things above? How do you know if you've set your mind on things above? We know it Because you're becoming more and more like Jesus. You're being shaped into the image of God's dear Son. And it's love, man. See what great love the Lord has lavished on us. And it's now that we are children of God. It's not something that's going to happen in some far off someday. No, it's happening now. It's happening now because here's the thing I want you to know. This is why it's important. This is why it's important to be part of church. This is why it's important to gather with others to worship. This is why it's important to let your relationship with Jesus and with your brothers and sisters in Christ be so much more than an hour on Sunday. Because the thing you focus on, the thing you look at, you become like what you look at. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but it's the truth. You become like what you look at, what you hope for, what you deeply desire, what you focus on, you become like what you look at. That's what makes it really hard sometimes for some of my law enforcement friends, because they have to see the really dark side of life. And sometimes if you just spend too much time with the dark side of life, it starts feeling like it's rubbing off on you. That's why you got to come back to the faith. You got to come back to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You got to spend time in the Word. You got to find places where it's more than just flattening your fanny for an hour on Sunday, where you can engage life on life with people and following Jesus, because you become like what you look at, what you spend your time on, what you invest your focus on. You become like what you look at. So I want to draw you back to those original questions, okay? And you may need to go on a little bit of an excavation journey to find where your heart has fallen to. Some of you have had your hearts crushed. Some of you have had your hearts abused. Some of you have had your hearts neglected. Some of you are victims of those circumstances, but that only goes so far, because it's your heart. It's your heart. And you get to call your heart home. You get to do that. You get to do that. Where have you set your heart? Where's the last place you left it? Maybe that's where you need to go to start looking for it. Where's your heart gotten off to? You say, man, the disappointments, because I had my heart set on these things, but these things didn't come true. And I just have a hard time even hoping for anything beyond that now. No, 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 no. Go get your heart. Let's bring it back to Jesus. Go get your heart and let's bring it back to Jesus. Where is your mind wandered off to? If you don't keep that thing on a chain, it will wander off. Where is your mind wandered off to? For some of you, your mind wandered off to the woman in the next cubicle. Go get your mind back and bring it back to Jesus. For some of you, your mind has wandered off into all the what ifs or the it'll never happens. Go get your mind back and bring it to Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Because here's the question you got to come to grips with. Can you take it back? Can you take your heart back from where it's gotten off to? Can you take your mind back from where it's wandered off to? And the answer is yes, you can. And it may be a tough journey, and you're probably going to need the help of some Christian friends. You may even need the help of a trained therapist to help you get your life back, to get your heart back, to get your mind back. But it's up to you to take the first step of that journey. Father, in Jesus' name, would you stand with me? Father, in Jesus' name, would you forgive me for where I've let my mind wander off to? Would you forgive me for how I've allowed my heart to be stolen from me? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you come to my rescue? Lord, I believe in Jesus. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. And Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to show me the next right step, to teach me, Lord, and show me how to move forward in my life with Jesus. Lord, I choose you. I'm grateful that you chose me. In as much as it lies with me, Jesus, I'm calling out for you. I'm calling out for you.